This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast with Andrew Jobling, author, speaker, educator, entrepreneur, and AFL player. Join Andrew as he continues his lifelong journey as a student of human behavior. This podcast will help you live your passion, explore your potential, step into your power, and embrace your possibilities. Embrace your possibilities. Possibilities.
This is Andrew Jobling. Welcome to the Wellness Puzzle Podcast for another week. And I'm about to share with you quite an incredible conversation I've just had with Bill Williamson, who is the new author of a book called Straining at the Oars. This is a wonderful conversation with a man who is very open, honest, real and raw, a pastor at a church, been through a lot in his life. Incredibly, even while he's writing his book, Straining at the Oars, he was learning from real experience of the struggles that can happen in life as he went through a divorce, as he went through some depression, financial challenges, incredible. And even just 12 months ago, he said he was probably at the darkest place of his life. 12 months later, he's published a book. He's got a new job. He's got a new relationship. He's now pastoring and impacting lives. And he is a man full of joy and purpose. This is a wonderful conversation. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy my chat with Bill Williamson. Great to be here with Bill Williamson. Bill, hello.
Hello. How's everything down under?
Down under is absolutely wonderful, Bill. Not as hot as it is up above, that's for sure.
So 100 degrees today. Yakima, Washington.
Yakima, Washington is smoking.
It is.
You said 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So for us metriconomians, I don't know if that's a word. I've just created a word. That's getting close to 40 degrees Celsius, which is not just hot, that's steaming hot.
Smoking.
That is smoking. Yeah. So I'm sure the air conditioning is getting a fair workout at the moment.
It is on right now. And fortunately, I'm in my car most of the day, so keeps me cool.
Yeah, it's just that in between bit, isn't it? You get out of an air conditioned car into stinking hot. Then you run and you get into an air conditioning building, you go up and down, up and down.
That's how it is.
Anyway, that's summer. Yakima is in Washington. It's such a beautiful place too, isn't it? For it people, is. Just to give them the geography. It's West Coast, but right up the top northwest corner of the US. So just bordering Canada, really. Where is Alaska sit?
Canada is between Washington and Alaska.
Okay.
So we're on the border of Washington. Yakima is central Washington. We are about 2 hours east of Seattle, so it's a great day trip over there to see even more beautiful landscape.
Beautiful, and I was there, and that's when we met, Bill.
Yes,
and this is 2019. September 2019, just before the world went crazy with a really bad cold, and it was such an awesome trip. I was in the US for a month just launching my book.
Yes.
The Wellness Puzzle. Yeah. And I did a wonderful trip around the US and then culminated in coming up to Yakima to do some stuff with a wonderful man, Dr. Alan Meyer, in the church that you are pastoring at.
Correct.
And that's why
First Presbyterian Church. You and Alan spoke and you said, if anybody feels like God is prompting them to write a book, talk to me. And so we did. And here we are. Finally got through it through COVID, through other storms in my life, but finished it up last year and got it published. And right now, people are being blessed from what I understand that they're enjoying what I had to write. So God is using it.
That is so good, mate. So yes, you've just published your first book called Straining at the Oars. And that's so good. I just love how life works. I love how people meet, how God connects people at the right time, at the right place. It's just that synchronicity that we think is coincidence. Well, I don't think there's any coincidence in the world. I think God orchestrates everything in you and I meeting. And that trip to Yakima was an incredible blessing in my life in a lot of ways, but certainly meeting you and then being able to help you publish a book called Straining at the Oars. So good on you. Why don't you, before we get into the book, I don't want to talk about it. There's a lot of life that's happened that's certainly contributed to you writing the book.
Yep. So when you and I met, that's where you want me to go. We met, like you said, just prior to COVID. And the title of the book, Straining at the Oars, comes from a passage of scripture in Mark chapter 6, where the disciples are on the lake and Jesus is back on the shore and they're trying to get to the other side, but they encounter a ferocious storm. And Jesus looks out and sees them, and he says that they are straining at the oars, or in the another translation, painfully making headway, so not getting anywhere. And that's kind of what COVID felt like as I began writing the book, is that I was straining at the oars, trying to figure out how to be a pastor with this, like you said, this very nasty cold that the world got, and how to use Zoom, wishing I had bought stock in Zoom years ago. But you were there for me all along the way, and other storms came in my life beyond that, because we got through COVID, we got church opened up again in 2021. My wife and I agreed on a separation, then eventually a divorce. So the book writing was put on hold on a few occasions as I was dealing with my own life storms. The subtitle of the book is Encountering Jesus in the Storms of Life. And personally, I was straining at the oars trying to figure out where my life was going to, how I was going to survive these storms. And was I going to get to the other side of all of this? And I can say right now, today, if you had told me 2 years ago, I would be an author of a published book and have some bruises and scars along the way, but am flourishing, I would not have believed you. But here I am. God is good.
God is good. Absolutely.
He got me through the storms. And the book basically, is about that, just how God gets us through the storms of life and why it is we strain at the oars at times, whether it's because of a global pandemic, if you're going through an illness, if you're battling depression, going through a divorce, could be a number of reasons why we just find ourselves painfully making headway in our life, in our relationships, in our job, in our circumstances, and feel like I just don't see an end to this. And that's where I was at. I could not see the other shore on the other side.
And one of the biggest, I guess, insights, and we'll talk more about the book in more detail as we move through this podcast. As you said, Jesus was on the shore looking at these disciples straining at the oars. And he's probably thinking, what is wrong with them? You don't need to strain at the oars. And I think this is the whole message, isn't it, of Jesus, is just have faith that you'll get through the storm. You don't have to strain as hard as you're straining. And we do this in life, don't we? I think every one of us, we think we've got to work it out ourselves and we've got to tough through it and break through brick walls and willpower must get us through.
Yep.
And if you have faith, and this message is very faith-filled.
Correct.
So there's people listening to this that maybe don't have a Christian faith, but they should have a faith of some kind. I think faith is incredibly important because basically faith is saying, I'll get through this. I don't know how. I'm not sure what's going to be required to do it, but I know it'll happen. I know I'm okay. And as a Christian, you and I both know that we just pass that up to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, I've got no idea what I'm doing here. I need you to just to row me through. He will.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if, you know, somebody reading the book doesn't have a faith or a hope in God, we all know what it means to struggle in life. We all encounter storms in our life. And culture teaches us that we need to pick ourselves up and we need to work harder, be better, you know, attain more material possessions, and that life will get better. And those things don't always work. And whether it's turning to God or perhaps it's going to see a counselor, or maybe, you know, there's some kind of medication that we need to explore and discover. Life isn't intended to be one struggle after the other, as if we're just not making headway, not making a difference, have no purpose in life, have no sense of power or control. We feel hopeless. So whether or not it's about God, I think anybody can relate to what I went through, because some of my struggles have been lifelong. And I know that I've already encountered many people who have been able to identify with the struggles that I've had, because people struggle for known and unknown reasons. They strain at the oars. They are miserable. They're not happy. They don't feel fulfilled, and they don't know why. And I hopefully this book will help them start thinking about maybe in their own life, there are some things that are causing them to struggle in this world more than they have to. And they can address it. They can acknowledge it. they can get help for it and begin to start feeling the wind in their sails that would carry them along.
And that's what we're working towards, isn't it? The wind in the sails.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to put the oars down for a while, kind of start processing, analyzing, reflecting on things. And then if you're listening to God, if you're listening to Holy Spirit, you can start to sense that there's a wind starting to pick up. Whether or not you need to pick up the oars at that point or not, you can begin to put your attention to what you see on the horizon. And I do believe we can start moving forward again. If we stop doing it in our own strength and rely upon God or others in our life to help us navigate these storms.
Love it, mate. Love it. This is going to be such a good conversation. Bill, let's have a quick break and we'll come back and we'll dig more deeply into your journey of straining at the oars. And also, I want to share a little bit about when we first met, how I was straining at the oars as well, and the power of God in my life as well. So let's have a quick break.
The shedding of tears after a significant achievement, a meaningful moment, or purposeful pursuit is an indication of the powerful emotional joy we all strive for in our lives. What if there was a process for personal transformation that could lead to regular tears of joy moments? In Tears of Joy, Andrew Jobling provides the simple steps that will predictably lead to many meaningful moments of significance, achievement, and well-being. This book offers a sure and certain pathway to transformation that lasts. To purchase Tears of Joy or any of Andrew's other books, go to andrewjobling.com.au.
So, Bill, you said just then while we're having a break, you were a DJ back in college, spinning the wax, you said.
You know, that's the phrase I said, but after I said it, I'm like, is that true? Yeah, I think so, spinning the wax. And so I enjoy podcasts and doing stuff like this. So.
Just for those young millennials and Gen Ys, vinyl records were what played music back when Bill and I were younger. So if you want to go to a museum of music, you'll see a big black round thing that's made of vinyl that you put it on a turntable and you put a little stylus on top of it and magically music came out of it.
Yep. And it's coming back. People are starting to get into vinyl records these days. So I wish I'd kept all of mine. They're valuable.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. Anyway, that was just a bit of a blast from the past, mate. You're a DJ, which is awesome. I love that. Have you got your special DJ voice that you use?
Not really, but I had a special DJ name.
What was your DJ name?
Ermal T. Coming at you on KWRS. Yeah, Ermal.
Ermal T.
Yeah, Ermal. Wow. People would say Herbal T or Ermal's T-shirts. Yeah, we had fun with my legal name, which is why I go by the name Bill.
Bill is way easier. Mate, it's so cool. So let's share some stories. Let's get a bit deep and vulnerable here, because I think a lot of authors, a lot of speakers, a lot of podcast hosts put on this persona or facade that they've got it all together. And I've battled with that a lot of my life because I've been doing what I do now for over 20 years. And there's this internal battle. If I'm trying to get up and share messages to help and inspire people, I can't have weakness. I can't be broken. I can't be insecure, because what kind of example am I setting if that's who I am? And then on the other hand, maybe there's power in that vulnerability. And I've certainly learned over the last 4 years, really very close to when you and I met.
Right.
I started on this total journey of transformation. And this is, again, the hand of God. I see this totally. I was very much straining at the oars around about the middle of 2019. My marriage ended and I was in a very, very deep, dark place for a lot of reasons, which I'm not going to go into right now. But interestingly, soon after, that's when I met Alan Meyer, who I was speaking with at a church in Melbourne, Australia. And we just connected, like immediately we connected with each other. And I knew his stuff would help me with my challenges. And I knew I could help him with his. His were health and well-being challenges. He needed to lose some weight. And I helped him. And he gave me his book, From Good Man to Valiant Man, which was an absolute game changer for me because I was totally straining at the oars. So when I met you in Yakima, even though the persona up on stage, this guy that seemed so confident and got it all together, I was a mess, really, underneath, very much straining at the oars. And I guess like you, over COVID, I hit rock bottom more than once, but I'm grateful for that time with God and that time to reflect and that time to really spend building that relationship with God, but also building that relationship with myself to understand me, to forgive me, to move on. And it's been such a transformational journey. And to let go, the key is, isn't it, Bill? It's letting go of the need to be perfect, letting go of the need to have everything together, letting go of being the most successful or looking the best. We spend so much time chasing this external validation, external material accumulation, because we feel that that's what we need to stack up against everyone else. And society has done such a disservice to people and what it values that we've lost sight of who we are at the core and the fact that we are good enough just as we are and that God loves us just as we are and he created us in his image. Anyway, I just want to share that because it's so relevant for what we're talking about. So when you and I met, Bill, you were pastoring the church. Tell us a bit about your journey, because I know there were some struggles for you at that time. Tell us a bit more about some of the struggles you were going through.
Yeah, well, my marriage really was a straining at the oars for a long time. And we did all that we could to, we got counseling. We did all that we could to, what I think looking back now, was to patch up a sinking ship. We just couldn't make it work. And you've been through it and you know what it's like. And along with that comes guilt and shame, embarrassment, all kinds of stuff. And even though I was a pastor at a church, yeah, the persona was there. I could not let them know how much I was suffering internally. And so this book came out of some of that struggle, but you hit it on the head. The book came out of more of my entire life has been one of seeking approval of others, getting that validation, even seeking the approval of God. And I think a lot of Christians are straining at the oars by trying to please God, by obeying all the rules, you know, following all the commandments, doing all the right things without the joy that Christ says we can have. You know, he says, I've come to give you life. He said, I come to give it to you abundantly, full of joy, overflowing, to give it to us for eternity. But he also said, in this world, you're going to have troubles. So it's not like we're not going to have troubles just because we put our faith in God, but it's how we respond to those troubles, whether we lean into God or we pick up the oars and start rowing as fast as we can, thinking we're going to get through these troubles. For me, my troubles throughout life, I've dealt with depression, even going through my divorce last couple of years, I hit rock bottom again. I was straining at the oars. I couldn't imagine, like I said, that I would be where I am today, but God was faithful. He met me every day, every morning, every noon, every night. He gave me what I needed, but he didn't just solve my problems, because in the midst of our struggles, I think there's great growth. And I think if we could take the time to process things, understand the struggles that we're going through, and trust God. It's harder to trust God than to let go of the oars. It's hard to trust God when, if you're a trapeze artist and you're swinging out over the audience and you have to let go of your bar and then reach out for the hands of the person on the other bar, it's that letting go, but trusting that that other person has you and they'll catch you and you'll be safe. That's the hard thing to do. So for me, depression, it was a hard thing because I felt like many years ago, even as a pastor, I could not let anybody know because I felt they would think I was weak, that I was maybe crazy, that I should not be the pastor of a church. Who am I to be up front teaching others to live the good life when I'm struggling? So that was hard. But I've also dealt with some of the other things I address in there is having a narcissistic dad. And not realizing how painful that kind of relationship can be, because again, the focus is on me, it's on you. When you're in a relationship with a narcissist who happened to be my dad, you feel like you are the problem. You can never please them. So it's that endless cycle. I want to please my dad, but as counseling helped me understand with his own narcissistic tendencies, I could never please him.
No.
So it was a vicious cycle. Talk about straining at the oars and not being able to please anybody. So that's been part of my journey all along, is realizing I don't have to be something I'm not in order to try to please somebody, because I can't please everybody. And sometimes what I do is going to anger people. That's one of the other ors is conflict. I don't like conflict, so I avoid conflict because I want to make people happy. And that's a tough or to let down is, okay, I can deal with conflict if I know how to engage in a healthy way in those tough conversations. But it's taken many years to get to that point.
Oh, wow. That's so good. I was listening to, I don't know if you've ever heard of a pastor named Andy Stanley, who's a US sure. guy. And I was listening to a sermon he did just recently. And he said, every conversation is a construction zone. You're either building or you're tearing down.
Yeah. They say communication is the key to every relationship. And it really is.
Particularly the one with yourself.
Oh,
the most
sure.
important one. You're either building yourself or you're tearing yourself down. You're either building others or you're tearing them down.
Yeah. And that's a part of straining at the oars, listening to the lies that are out there, listening to your own self-talk that is based upon your view of you think others have of you, which is a lie in itself also. In many ways, we are all narcissists because we think that we're on stage. Everybody's watching us. We don't want to fall.
Exactly.
We don't want to stumble.
What is someone going to think about me? The answer to that is nothing. They're not thinking about you because they're thinking about themselves.
Yeah. I had somebody tell me that once I got through preaching and I said, man, I just felt terrible. I thought I could have done so much better. And I can't imagine why God would use that sermon. And a friend of mine said, you know what, Bill, believe it or not, nobody is sitting around talking about your sermon right now. I'm sorry. You're just not that important. They're not sitting around complaining about that sermon. They're out having a good lunch and enjoying family together. And you're the only one probably thinking about
that's
this.
So true.
That's so true.
Yeah, that is true. And we do create our own straining at the oars. I mean, I think we all do it to ourselves. We wouldn't strain at the oars as much if we didn't tell ourselves these stories of I'm not good enough, I can't do it, what other people think of me, I'm sure they don't like me. All this, as you said, narcissistic behavior. You're right. We are all very narcissistic, even though we pretend not to be. Anyway, mate, I'm so inspired by you. And this is going to sound condescending, but proud of you because, I mean, I've watched your journey from the first time we met in 2019 all the way through to today. And I have seen the highs and I've seen the very deep, dark lows. And you've been very open and honest with me. And that's inspiring. And I think that's a really important message for people to know. When you're in a deep, dark place, you need to reach out. You need to tell people. You need to be okay with it. You need to be able to share it because if you hide it, you're just going to get deeper and darker. And I've seen you go through your divorce. And I know you've moved multiple times because you lost your job or you left your job as the pastor at that church for a number of reasons. And then I know you've been to California and you've lived in what was the other state in the last
Idaho.
Few? Went you're in Idaho for a while. At least you had access to Idaho potatoes, which is a good thing. You've been all over the place, back and forth to California with your daughter and then back up to Washington. And I've seen this journey and I've seen you strain at the oars. And now I look at this man in front of me today and I see joy and I see purpose. You've published a book. You're in a new relationship. You've got a job that's impacting lives. Tell us. Actually, no, don't tell us anything. We're going to have, I'm going to keep people hanging on the edge of their seats. We're going to have another break and then we're going to come back. And then what I'm going to ask you is what you've been able to do to really get through the straining at the oars that you've had to be where you are right now. So let's have another quick break.
Sounds good.
Hi, I hope you're enjoying this podcast. My name is Bill Williamson and I'm the author of Straining at the Oars. My prayer is that this book will help you to encounter the peace and joy of Christ in the midst of any storms you are going through. Go to my website, strainingattheoars.com, to read more about it or to make a purchase, or simply go on Amazon and purchase your own copy.
As always, Bill, this happens every single time I do a podcast. I stop recording, we have a break, and all of a sudden we have this conversation. I'm thinking, why aren't we recording this? It always happens. We were just talking about the power of being real and raw and open and honest and vulnerable. And I think that's really important. And the struggles I had with my divorce. And you were saying once after your divorce, explain
I
what you
felt like. I had a big D on my chest for divorce that even people who didn't know me could tell that guy's divorced.
Flashing lights and arrows and the spotlight on you. This guy's divorced. Keep away.
Get away. Stay away.
Oh, mate, we go through all
unclean,
this.
Unclean.
Again, these conversations we have with ourselves, these very dangerous construction zone conversations we have with ourselves that are tearing us down.
Yeah.
We've got to change that around. So as we were saying before the break, you were, wow, mate, I know depression was hitting you and trying to find work was a struggle, and financially it was a struggle, and obviously stuff with your divorce was horrible. So you probably were in one of the darkest places potentially you've ever been in.
Yeah. Last year at this time, I was probably in the darkest time I've ever been, or at least I thought. It got darker. And
really?
And I was so alone. At least I felt alone, even though I had people around me. And I wanted to be alone. And that was going through my head right now, Andrew, was you had said, how did you get through this? How did, you know, without God, I couldn't. But a lot of times when people are straining at the oars for known and unknown reasons, they often isolate themselves. And that's what I did for a while. And that's the worst thing anybody can do.
Absolutely worst.
Going through struggles. So God helped me to reach out to a counselor. I have very, very good dear friends in Washington, dear friend in Oregon, that I could reach out to. And you talk about being vulnerable. I had to tell them what was going on with me. I needed my friends to know. A friend of mine who had been through this journey as well said the hardest thing to do is to allow others to carry your burdens. And it was hard. It was hard for me to ask, can I sleep in your bedroom for months and live with you? Because I don't have anywhere and I didn't have a job. And so I felt isolated. But what got me through it eventually, I was thinking about it as you were asking the question, is I found a community of people. It happened to be at a church in San Dimas, California, that from the very beginning welcomed me and accepted me for who I was. I did not feel I had that big D on my chest.
Yeah, the no judgment.
They saw me for who I was. They immediately asked about me, and I was able to just tell them, I'm in a very tough place. I've just gone through a divorce. I don't have a job. I'm living in my daughter's in-law's bedroom in their house. And boy, they just welcomed me, invited me into their family. So I do believe one of the things anybody needs is a community of people, people they can trust, people who can walk with them and carry them, and not to be afraid to ask somebody to help carry you.
That's a big one, Bill. That's a really big one, isn't it? Because it's so interesting how we as humans feel like we're going to solve these dilemmas. We think we can go into our little cave or go into our own space and I'll work through it. It was Einstein that said you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that created that problem. Mm-hmm. And that's what so many people try and do. The key is asking for help, isn't it? Reaching out. So I guess step one for you was that willingness and decision to listen to God and reach out and ask for help. Obviously, that was the first step to know that your daughter's in-laws were there for you. The church in California was there for you. You had some good friends that were there for you. So you were able to share, which is wonderful. Then what was the next sort of stage in your growth and building yourself back up?
Well, you know, believe it or not, it was writing the book. It was finding
a purpose. No, I do believe it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Finding a purpose. My book, you know, I'm not coming at it as some expert or, you know, having all the answers to how to live with a narcissist, how to overcome depression. It's about my journey and what worked for me. And so even as I went through that, I identified again that I'm back at a place where I'm straining at the oars, and I had to take my own advice. I had to spend time reflecting. I spent time journaling. I spent time going out and doing stuff. I went out and did exercise. I was walking. I was meeting people for coffee, for lunch, just getting out there. But the church was the key. That was the real turning point. It gave me something to look forward to because I'd go there Wednesday nights. I'd go there Sunday mornings. And constant times with friends, a friend here in Washington, my good friend John, that we would Zoom every Wednesday night, and I could tell him where I'm at, what I'm doing, what's going on, how I'm feeling. No judgment, no trying to fix it, just listening to me and praying for me. So it's a variety of things that helped me through that. But the turning point where I felt as though the wind was getting back in my sails is I got to a point in December where I realized I want to have a good Christmas. I don't want these burdens. I don't want to be weighed down. I was looking for work. Nothing was happening. And I just had to set it down and said, God, I'm going to stop looking for a job. And I'm just going to wait for you to bring something to me. And the next day, a job.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. So, you know, now I don't say that for any reason that, you know, like somebody's going to think, well, all I have to do is pray and God will fix it and take care of it. I had to get to a point where I truly had to surrender everything.
Yeah.
I had to let go of the oars. I realized I was straining at the oars looking for a job. It was all about me. It was all about trying to sell myself and not trusting that there's something out there that's ideal. I was ready to do anything. And I realized, you know what? God wants more for us. He doesn't want us to settle. He doesn't want us to merely survive. He wants us to be conquerors. Yeah. And so I was surviving. And I finally said, I can't survive anymore, God. I need you now to take control. That, to me, I've been a Christian pretty much my whole life. But at that point, I truly understood what it meant to just surrender it all to God. I want to say I've done that before, but this time I had nothing else. I was the prodigal son. I was out there like, I need to go home. I need to go back to God, to back to what I know is right and best. And not that I turned away from him, but I just was figuring, okay, God, I got a hold of this. I'll take care of it. And we'll see you on the other side.
You didn't turn away from him. You just turned into yourself. And I think when we're under pressure, that's what we tend to do. When there's a real crisis, we tend to, and I know for me, it's the same thing. We all of a sudden automatically go, well, I've got to solve this. When we go internally, what can I do? What have I done? What should I be doing? I've got to do more of the blah, blah, blah. And what you've just said is so powerful when you just said, that's it. I can't do this on my own. And you lay it down and you say, God, it's up to you now. I'm giving it to you. You know what I need. You know what I want. And to be able to do that is a powerful message for everyone listening to this, to be able to lay down the struggles and lay down the challenges, lay down all the work and the stress and the pressure and the accumulation and the desire and just say, hey, I'm just going to be ready to receive and open to receive. And I think that's a really powerful message.
Yeah. And it's recognizing the immeasurable love of God, that I don't have to please him. I don't have to get his approval. I've gotten that through Christ. And my identity is not in my accomplishments. It's not in my wounds or scars. It's in who I am as a child of God. And that's a part of the journey for me, is to finally realize how much God really loves me. He doesn't want me to wallow around in the mud. He doesn't want me straining at the oars. He wants me to know that abundant life of Christ is available to all of us.
That's so good.
And setting down the oars of guilt and shame, receiving forgiveness, peace, setting down the oars that we have been carrying for so long that they somehow become our identity, but they're not, because God has so much more to give us. If we'd let go of who we have been all this time and allow him to transform us and change us to become the person he's always created us to be. Person who knows us to be.
Yeah, that's so good. There's an amazing YouTube, you've probably heard it, it's called Father's Love Letter. It goes for about 4 minutes and it's all scriptures taken from the Bible, and it's a letter from God, the Father, to me, you, to whoever's listening, and exactly what you just said. And it's worth everyone listening to it. It's called Father's Love Letter. Just go to YouTube and find it, and saying exactly what Bill just said then. Very, very powerful, but from the actual mouth of God. Wow, Bill, this is incredible. Powerful stuff. Incredible. Good on you for allowing God to fill your sails with wind and now being on the water and just moving at a great clip. So, Bill, if people want to get the book, and I really want to encourage them to get Straining at the Oars. How do they do that?
Well, so my website is strainingattheoars.com, and I hope to soon start putting out some blogs or even little video clips. So strainingattheoars.com will link them to where they can purchase the book, but they can always go to Amazon, and it's in there as well.
Yep, awesome. Well, Bill, this has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you for being so real, raw, open, and honest about your struggles and certainly about how you've transformed. And you're not exactly where you want to be, and I don't think we ever are, but you're now loving life and back living with joy and fulfillment and purpose. Yeah, as long as we're living a life of meaning.
One last little image. I was at the zoo over 4th of July and in a butterfly exhibit, and I actually learned more about the butterfly that I'd never known. But, you know, when the caterpillar gets into the cocoon that they build for themselves, the metamorphosis that takes place is that they literally become liquid, nothing.
Wow.
And then they're rebuilt into this amazing butterfly. And the pictures I took, they're seeing the intricate details we all know of the wings and stuff. So I feel like I've been in a cocoon for a long time, but I had to get to that metamorphosis. I had to become nothing so that then God could create what he wants out of me. And that's what he wants for all of us.
That's an awesome thing. I didn't know that about the butterfly, that the caterpillar went to liquid. But one thing I did know about the butterfly is when it's ready to emerge from the cocoon, it has to struggle to get out, because in the struggle to get out of the cocoon, the pressure pushes fluid out of the butterfly's body into the wings, so it becomes a beautiful butterfly. So it's in the struggle that the butterfly has its beauty. And so straining at the oars, we need to strain at the oars for a period of time, not forever, to get to the other side so that we can get the wind in the sails and we can really start to enjoy the beauty that life has. So that was awesome. And I'm glad you said that, because it reminded me of that story.
Yeah, that's great.
There will be struggles in life, but beauty is on the other side. You just got to trust God and submit yourself. Anyway, Bill, thanks, mate. Awesome conversation. Congrats with the book. And I know it's going to do incredibly well, and look forward to talking to you very soon.
Thanks, brother.
I'm inspired. I hope you are too. What a wonderful man, and what a conversation. The power of vulnerability, the power of being real, raw, open, and honest, but also understanding that we're not in control. We can't do it all ourselves. And when we keep thinking we've got to strain and strain and work and bust ourselves, really all we're doing is tearing ourselves down, when we can just let it go. And if you're a Christian, pass it to God. If you're not a Christian, just trust in the universe, trust in your friends, trust in the people around you. They're there to lift you up, pick you up, help you, and open doors that will move you forward in life. Powerful conversation. I'm very grateful to Bill for his openness and honesty. If you want to get his book, which I do recommend you do, please go to his website, strainingattheoars.com, and you can find out more about him there. Thanks for being with me this week. A wonderful conversation. As always, please share it with as many people as you can. I'll be back with you next week. My name is Andrew Jobling. This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast.